34 seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of April in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You want to email today with your comments, your clarifications, your what have you. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. We are broadcasting beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon to all of you. Thank you. And welcome to day 12. Speaking of days, we are now 9 days away. 9 days away from Listener Party 9, now officially titled, I believe. Well, screw it. I'm going to act as though it is. Now officially titled Rick Emerson Listener Party 9. I never know the proper inflection to use. Whether if it's sort of a...
I think it's a kiss in my ass.
You've got to acknowledge the comma, though. It's got to be sort of a... Listener Party 9, kissing my ass. Like, I never know whether to do it sort of a confrontational or whether, like a kooky comedic delivery.
That smile in your voice?
Kissing my ass! Yeah.
That's perfect.
Except it's got to be done on the... It's got to be done in that stellar 910 sound where it's all muffled and then there's an inexplicable whine. There's like a high-frequency whine that just sort of goes in the background 24 hours a day, no matter what the engineers do. I remember being on 910, and you would just like, you totally have to deflect these comments that you get from the audience, but why is there a high-frequency whistling sound in the background of your radio station 24 hours a day, no matter what I do to my radio? And I'd always be like, I don't know. It must be in your head. I don't hear anything. 9 days away from Listener Party 9. Kissing my ass. Frightening. That sound just comes out of me naturally. That is next Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m. Sabalas, Mount Tabor. 49th and Hawthorne. We have a pretty big announcement about that to make later on today. Now, as you know, we've got the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. They're going to be playing that night. Going to be raising the roof, as it were. Last week, we talked about the set list for that. They're working on the set list. In fact, tomorrow, I'm probably going to swing by and see them practicing, see how their sound is, see everything's coming together. They're going to be playing inside the Bigger Than Jesus House Band's set. And again, later this week, we're going to rename them. Thursday of this week, we're going to come up with a different name for the band. Speaking of which, I did get an email about that band, the Buttless Chaps. Did you get that? I'm on their spam list somehow. Come see the Buttless Chaps. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it wasn't even for a band. Ah. Zing. Anyway, so... But we're going to rename them on Thursday, the Bigger Than Jesus House Band, because that name is clearly no longer appropriate, and it just sounds like unnecessary whoring. It's like whoring past the close. So this Thursday, we're going to rename them. But when they perform at the Listener Party, Listener Party 9 next Thursday, inside their set, we have a special event that's going to take place with a special guest. Now, I can't say who it is. I'm not going to say it on the air. You'll have to be there next Thursday to find out. But there's going to be a special performance happening inside the band's set. We're going to bring up a special guest, and together that guest and the band will perform the greatest duet ever. So there's that. Today, though, we have a supplemental special announcement about Listener Party 9. We'll be getting to that as well. We're also going to talk about, there was all of this confusion yesterday on the show. And not just the normal kind. There was all of this sort of puzzlement yesterday about various female members of the Rick Emerson audience who had posted things. It's like some of them were on the MySpace thing, and like some of them were on Sarah's MySpace thing, and some of them had left comments, and then somebody else had like their own webpage. And there was I was getting like five different girls confused yesterday. Girls who had made comments or questions or had weighed in one way or another about the Listener Party. Today we're going to explicate it all. Today we've got it all. I've got it all figured out with appropriate photos. So we'll put that on the website later on. Right now it's Sarah's O face still, but the ooh face.
Thanks. Hi. That isn't even... It just looks like I'm in the middle of talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, it looks like you're in the middle of saying, ooh. So we'll get to that later on today. Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio Atlanta is going to join us to talk about DNA, strippers, and disposal of the body. And lacrosse. A whole bunch of things that taste great together. So we'll talk about that. We have our inaugural Whitney Watch today. Sarah and Tim have heard the theme already.
I have.
Later on today, that'll come. Is that in this hour?
I believe we'll do it in this hour, yeah.
All right. Hey. Sometime in this, the noon news hour, we will have the inaugural edition of the Rick Emerson Show, Whitney Watch. Coming up at the 2 o'clock hour today, we'll talk to Kristen Salvatore from PC Gamer Magazine. The new issue was on the stands last week. They're going to talk about how to turn your girlfriend into a video game enthusiast. That's coming up later on today as well, and so forth. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. You can email. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. At the helm today, as she always is, the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you today?
I'm a little under the weather.
Well, that's good. Good that you're 2 feet away from us and breathing into a common air in an uncirculated room.
It's true. Well, you told me that I can't take any sick days, so here I am.
All right. Well, that's fine. Well, you're trying to spin this fiction that you're better anyway, because what is it your dad told you? Is your dad a real doctor?
Yeah.
What kind of doctor is he?
He was a doctor on a battleship during the Persian Gulf War, and now right, he's in family practice.
Okay. So he isn't like some got his license in the Virgin Islands doctor?
Nope.
All right, he's not some back of the Rolling Stones, send away, also become a unitary minister, bone through his nose doctor.
I'm pretty sure he knows.
Or a doctor like Dr. Laura.
No, he's not. All right.
So Coyd was nice enough to let me go home an hour early today so I could sleep.
Sound a little stuffed up. Coyd was nice enough to let me go home.
Yeah, that was a struggle.
Keep talking. It's hilarious.
Oh.
Working on the following stories for your edification today is Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Cares and boos, but more boos greet Dick Cheney as he throws out the first pitch in a baseball game. Now there are reports of Dick Cheney being shot by a hunting buddy a few years ago. And land once owned by the real psycho has been pulled off eBay.
Wait, is this Ed Gein?
Yep.
Oh, I love Ed Gein news.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We really should have a serial killer watch. We wouldn't get to use it very often, but it would give me little thrills of pleasure whenever we did. And Ed Gein, and I know that there's people out there. What's her name? Grace, one of our former 1080 girls.
Yes.
It gets all up in my face every time I start talking about Ed Gein being. She claims that Ed Gein is not a serial killer because he only killed two people, I believe.
Well, an old-time serial killer.
Well, it was early on. The rules weren't clear. It was a simpler time then.
Yeah.
It was a more innocent time in terms of serial killing. But he does get points for cannibalism and necrophilia, though. So that's, it all balances out. I mean, speaking of which, I never got to this necrophilia news this guy sent me the other day. And thank you. And it was sent to me by more than one person, by the way. And I'd like to thank you all for being so in tune with the Rick Emerson Show and its vibe. Well, we'll get to it. Meredith Viet? No, that's not it. Probably not it. Here we go. Well, we'll get to it. Right there, necrophilia news that you can
use.
Yes, and so forth. Well, let's stop talking now. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. A North Carolina DA is pushing ahead with an investigation into rape and assault charges against members of Duke University's lacrosse team. That's despite claims from defense attorneys in the case that the DNA evidence clears those players. And, of course, Jesse Jackson is always mumbling and moaning about something.
I'm sorry. I wasn't even prepared. I wasn't prepared to hear the phrase lacrosse and Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
All that are together. I'm sorry.
Here he is.
The fact that there's a young black woman and there are young white men involved, and there's such a history of white men and black women and rape and assault, it conjures up many ancient feelings and fears.
Oh, just stuff it. No one cares. I love Jesse Jackson. I really do. He's a man. He's a silver-tongued orator, and he's a man of almost unparalleled eloquence. But I mean, there does come a point where you just enter the realm of self-parody, and Jesse Jackson could never be. You could find a whiter thing for him to weigh in on the lacrosse. Are there any black people anywhere that play lacrosse anywhere? No. I'll take that silence.
I'm not familiar with the game.
It's a resounding. In lacrosse, I mean, I know we air lacrosse here. We have the Lumberjack, and they're a fine team, by the way, with a stellar personal performance and behavior on the part of all the athletes, I'm sure. All I'm saying is, in lacrosse, that thing where, isn't it like that game you got at the Toys R Us when you were a kid, where it's like you had the Velcro paddle thing and somebody throws the ball and
Yep.
I don't know. All I know is if you play lacrosse, it gives you shapely calves.
Well, the mayor of Durham, North Carolina, Bill Bell, tells Fox News concerned about how the story is being reported by the national media.
Bill Bell bagging.
There's no racial tension as such in this community.
Not in North Carolina.
There's concern about an alleged incident. This community is collected enough to allow the legal process to proceed, and we're going to do that.
I don't even know what that means. Do you ever hear a guy talking on TV, though, and he obviously has to clear his throat, and it drives you crazy?
Yeah.
Like Bill Bell? Right there, where he's obviously got some sort of phlegm or just some sort of guck in the back of, and it's all you can do not to leap out of the chair, go clear your throat. It's like when you watch a guy. Do you ever see this? Here's the worst thing. This is the worst thing on earth. You're watching a guy talk on TV, and you all know what I'm about to say. You're watching a guy talk on TV. He's speaking away. He's thundering, you know, in some sort of oratorical fashion. And then what happens? Get the little white spit in the corner of his mouth. Yeah. Is there anything worse than that? It's like a guy is reaching right out from the television and just sticking his fingers right into your eyes. It's the worst thing on earth. Some of my idiot in-laws. This guy Tom that I'm somehow related to. He's like the niece of a cousin of a sister. But anyway, I have to see him like once a year. And he's one of those guys. Alfred Hitchcock had this, where you would talk, not with the white stuff in the corner of his mouth, and I realize it is the lunch hour, but Alfred Hitchcock has this thing where he would talk, and it always sounded like there was excess saliva. It just sounded like he needed one of those, you know, dentals, the dental thing that
maybe
goes into your mouth.
Cigars.
Well, do you ever hear Michael Reagan talk? I mean, back when you were able to hear him.
I don't think I've ever listened to him. Where might he be found?
Downtown. Downtown, handing out leaflets of some kind, handing out mimeographed action sheets, that would be my guess. But back, I don't know, 15 years ago when Michael Reagan was you were able to hear him talk somewhere, he had that same thing where he would talk, it was like, and it was a lot of, just one big watery train wreck inside that guy's mouth. So that's this guy, Tom, that I'm somehow related to. And he's just a tool user. Do you ever meet a guy and it's like 5 seconds in, you go, the guy's just a gum chewer, like of the first variety. And he starts talking. And the first time I met him, I was with Clyde. And Clyde and I are sitting there talking to this idiot who I'm somehow related to. And he's going on and on and on and on. And as he's talking, he's getting like the white spit build up in the corners of his... And it's like all you can do to not just cut off his head and kick it down a hill. I don't know what we're talking about.
Meanwhile, a jury has awarded $9 million in punitive damages to a Jersey man who claims Vioxx caused his heart attack. It's the second major judgment against Merck and Company over the prescription painkiller. Legal analyst Royal Oaks looks at the impact of the jury's decision.
Royal Oaks?
Yep. Royal Oaks.
This is a big hit, but the real significance is that as one of just four early decisions, this is going to send a message that with respect to the 10,000 remaining lawsuits, Merck may have to pay big bucks to settle those cases to get them off the docket.
Here are other spokespersons.
Royal Oaks.
Timid Deer Lane after that. I've met... Royal is one of those names that you never really heard. Like, you didn't hear anybody named Royal.
No.
And then, like, in the last 5 years, I've met about 15 guys named Royal. When we were looking for a car, we almost went out and bought, we were looking for a hybrid. And we ended up not buying it because it was a piece. But the guy who was, like, showing us, he's like, yeah, my name is Royal. Come this way. And it's, like, the weirdest thing. It's, like, one of those names that you never hear. And then suddenly it's everywhere. Royal Oaks. Doesn't Vioxx sound like one of those, doesn't it sound like a penis pill? I always thought that's what it was.
No, no, it's
doesn't it
not
sound
that.
Like a Viagra kind
I
of
guess.
A Vioxx? I don't even know what it cures. What does it cure?
Heart attacks.
I mean, as opposed to healthfulness. If you're having any of that pesky heart working properly, you know, we'll take care of that. What is it? Is it just? It's just like an aspirin or something?
I believe so. I'm not sure exactly what Vioxx does.
I don't. No one knows. It kills you apparently. So lawyers claim. If you're, you know, just don't take it.
Well, let's talk about something we know about, serial killers.
Excellent.
Land that was once a home of the murderer whose story inspired the movie Psycho has been pulled from eBay. The 40-acre property in central Wisconsin once contained Ed Gein's home and part of his farm. Gein inspired the Norman Bates character in Hitchcock's 1960 classic Psycho.
I used to know a whole bunch of Ed Gein jokes. I don't know them anymore.
Well, eBay stopped the bidding, saying the listing violates its policy against murder memorabilia. The landowner inherited the property from his grandfather, who bought it at an auction. Gein was arrested when the body of a hardware store owner was found in his farm home. Investigators also found parts of other bodies. They conclude Gein had robbed graves and killed many people.
Guy goes into a bar, orders a beer Gein style. That's lots of body, no head.
Well, some people do anything to get out of work. Police in Iowa have arrested two people accused of filing a fake obituary for teenager Dan DJ Redout with the newspaper to get a few days off from work.
They say James Snyder, who's the boyfriend of Renout's mother and the boy's mother, Mary Jo Elizabeth Jensen, submitted an obituary notice to the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier newspaper saying Jensen's 17-year-old son had died at the Mayo Clinic after a lengthy illness. Authorities were notified after the teen was spotted at a restaurant by some family friends. Police say the pair did it so they could get a few days off from work.
Okay, those wacky kids. Back on the Ed Gein thing, but wait, hold on. Is this true? What, Sarah?
I think so.
Oh, see, I'm going to feel bad. I'm going to feel so very, very bad. Well, all right, let's go to the fold, shall we? Wait, hold on. I need to get some sort of a... I need to find some sort of a let's go to the phones. Sandy, Donna, Mike, the great phone scan thing going on. I have no such sound. Wait, hold on. Here we go. Let's go to the fold, shall we? Yeah. All right. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Royal.
Of course it is. Did I just conjure you like Beetlejuice by saying your name three times?
You know, it's entirely possible. But did you try to buy that hybrid at the Ron Tonkin Honda? Is that where you were looking at it?
Well, I don't know if it's entirely appropriate that I say, Royal. It's
fair enough. Yeah, that was probably me.
Well, let's just put it this way. You're a guy named Royal who was selling hybrids about a year and a half ago?
About that, yeah.
Yeah, well, oddly dumped that. I don't think you can actually use that phrase.
Okay,
But thank you. No, So this probably was, the odds are very good that this was you.
Odds are highly good.
Well, here's the thing about that, and let me be very clear about this, that I am in no way impugning Honda, their cars, in general, any sort of dealership, any sort of anything like that. Here was the thing about the hybrid. The hybrid that we looked at, which was the Accord, is that right?
I think you were looking at the Civic.
The Civic, that's right. It was a Civic.
They didn't have the Accord a year and a half
ago. All right, it was a Civic. The thing about the hybrid was, is that there was the two. There was the Civic and there was the Prius. The Prius just looks like some weird space car that I don't want to drive. It looks like a CRX or something, and I don't want to drive that. The Civic was good, but it was just sort of like two or three evolutions away from where it needed to be. It didn't feel like a real car. It felt like an early... It's like I remember buying one of the very first MP3 players, and it was like the size of a lawnmower, and it took like 40 batteries, and it was big and clunky, and it had like lots of moving parts, and it just fell apart all the time.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of how that early Civic felt to me. It was like almost there, but not quite. It had nothing to do with you and your stellar salesmanship.
I'm not worried about that. I'm not even selling cars anymore. So
well, let's.
I don't care.
It's okay. Well, Roy, what is it? What is the deal with you being named Royal?
You know, I like it. It's not a name you hear very frequently.
But I mean, is that like your given first name?
It is. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Is it like short for something like
royalty?
Royale. Or something?
No,
all right.
No, just Royal.
All right. Well, God bless you, Royal. Well, and look, again, you were a fantastic salesperson. And as they say in sales, we just went another direction with that.
Fair enough.
All right. Thank you for listening, Royal.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. There you go. All right. I thought that was going to be awkward for a second. I thought it was going to be like, and then they fired me. And then they told me I sucked.
Because you didn't buy that car.
They told me I couldn't close. You can't close crap. You are crap. Hit the bricks, Royal, because you are going out. I'm sure it's a fine car now.
But it wasn't then.
It was not a fine car then. It wasn't.
It looked like a sneaker.
No, it had nothing to do with that. It was just, it felt very much like a stock car at that point. It wasn't very, the problem with the early Civic, and again, this is like almost 2.5 years ago, is it just wasn't very customizable. It was sort of like, well, can I get it with a sunroof? And I was like, no. Well, can I get it with it? No. Well, can I get it? No. And it was just a whole lot of like, you can't have it your way.
Is that the thing that looked like a gremlin?
No, that's the Prius.
Oh, okay.
Which doesn't really look like a Gremlin. It looks like a CRX, which is a bad idea. No one wants to throw. When's the last time you heard somebody go, oh, those CRXs, what a sweet car that was.
Sexy.
No one has ever said that. No, from the outside, the Civic looks exactly, it looks great. It looked just like a regular Civic. And it was, the one thing, I know we're getting into a car thing here, but the one thing about that, though, is that, have you driven a hybrid, anybody here?
No.
I test drove a hybrid. They're great and creepy because they're completely silent. I mean, it's like you're used, in America, you drive for 20 years, you're used to the, and you get in and it's just like, and it's just completely silent. It is so great and weird. It's like you almost don't even believe the car's running. Like you're constantly wanting to rev the engine just to see the tachometer go up. But it was early enough in the, and I am an early adopter. Don't get me wrong. I bought the very first TiVo. I bought the very first MP3, portable MP3 player. I buy early versions of video game systems. I buy early, you know, I bought all of that stuff when it first came on the market. Early PDAs, cell phones, all of that stuff. The car was just, it was not where I needed it to be. I'm sure that it is now though.
It was fine till you got in.
Yes, it was. Yes, thank you. I'm sure it's a fantastic... Let's talk about something else. Here's a...
This isn't car talk?
This...
Click and clack? Tapping for...
No, I'm not... Look, watch it! No, I can't even do that accent. I just come out like the Brooklyn guy. I can't do the click and clack voice. All right, let's...
Cheney watch.
Okay. Here's your Cheney watch, by the way,
the
for Tuesday. It's on the Rick Emerson. Thank you. Hey, all.
Every time I see you looking my way, Baby, baby, can't you hear my heartbeat?
Well, years before Dick Cheney accidentally shot his lawyer friend in the face, Cheney himself was on the receiving end of a gunshot blast. Carlsbad Mayor Bob Forrest says he doesn't know for certain if it was he or his twin brother Dick who fired the shot during a hunting trip in the late 1990s. He accidentally pelted Cheney, who was then the chief executive of Halliburton. We're probably the only twins in the United States who have shot the vice president and never gone to jail for us, joked.
Maybe, wah, wah. Maybe this is just some sort of a, you know, that's what we need on the show. We need a whole, wah, wah, kind of a sound. Attention, Todd the Corpse, I know you have that. You can send that to me. Here the thing is, maybe it's some Final Destination thing where Dick Cheney was supposed to die years ago, and so God just keeps having guns go off in his general direction, hoping that they can, you know, he can sort of finish the job. Not that I wish for that to happen. I wish Dick Cheney and all federally elected officials a long and healthy life, with all happiness.
Well, Cheney wasn't hurt, but he was miffed. He said, "You guys watch where you're shooting."
He was miffed.
He was
shot in the face.
Offended.
He was miffed. Yes, he was the slightest bit put out.
Meanwhile, a loud mixture of cheers and boos greeted Dick Cheney today as he threw out the first ceremonial pitch at the Washington's National Baseball game. And talk about looking uncomfortable. Cheney is wearing a red Nationals warm-up jacket, tossing a pitch that reached the Nationals catcher on one bounce. The president, vice president, I should say, whose popularity has slumped along with that of the president, walked out into the field to cheers and booing from the sellout crowd. The boos appear to be a little louder than the cheers at RFK Memorial Stadium. And look at this picture of Cheney in a baseball.
Is he looking stylish as always?
He looks very uncomfortable.
I wish this was on the website. This photo of him. Look at his face. You're talking about an old man face.
Aww.
You know what the sound of that? You know what caption goes with that picture? You know, that is just...
What is it?
It hurts when I pee. That's it, right there. That's a whole lot of...
It looks like his elbow's out of joint.
I can't have sugar.
Look at that.
I can't have salt. It looks like his arm's just, like, coming off.
Flailing uncontrollably.
Did you ever see a guy's arm just completely come out of the socket?
No, not recently.
I did, man. I remember there was a guy who was a football injury, and it's like he got hit wrong, and arm pops completely out of the socket. And then the coach is like, I can't put it in. Get to the nurse's office. So the guy runs from the football field to the nurse, and they weren't wearing pads. He just had, like, a shirt on. The guy runs... totally armed, just flopping like a piece of bad linguine all the way across campus. All right.
That's our Cheney watch.
There's your Cheney watch for whatever the hell it is. I think we're going to break here. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there. Johnson 970.
I see you looking my way. Baby, baby, can't you hear my heartbeat? Baby, baby, can't you hear my heartbeat? Baby, baby.
It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503. Except this music is freaking me out. It just seems to start and stop randomly. All right, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Don't stay in it. So don't stay away. Don't go anywhere. Submerge your mind. Don't stay anywhere, kids. Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio is coming up. We're going to talk about Duke. The obligatory Duke sucks reference from Farrakh apparently. Now it's Duke sucks and rapes. So he'll be talking about that later on. What else? Coming up later on in the second hour of the show, we'll be talking more about Listener Party 9, which is now just 9 days away, happening at Sabalas Mount Tabor, 49th and Hawthorne. Listener Party 9, kissing my ass. 2 o'clock hour, Kirsten Salvatore from PC Gamer Magazine is going to join us, talk about how to get your girlfriend into the video gaming lifestyle, as it were. And some other things. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
Well, it looks like Bush's job ratings are now hitting new lows. Only 38% of the public approve of the job he is doing.
Where are these 38%, though? That's what I want to know. Where?
The red states, I would imagine. Iowa.
They're all just living in Kansas?
Yeah.
All right.
Kansas, Ohio, Indiana.
They're all just lurking in Decatur.
All the flyover states.
All right.
So, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says we are on a, quote, diplomatic track concerning Iran and its nuclear program. He said media reports suggesting the government is considering a military strike in that country are, quote, fantasy.
A guy, let's see here. I actually emailed and clarified this entire Matt from West Lynn. Rick, Iran does not have nuclear weapons or nuclear power, he claims. They are in the process of developing the technology to enrich uranium. All this would make sense if I knew what the hell I was talking about. If you enrich it a little, you can run a nuclear reactor to generate electricity. If you enrich it a little more, you can use it to create a nuclear warhead. It's not a big jump from one to the next, so that's why we're all freaked out. They are several years away from either. He continues, a nuclear warhead is not of much use unless you have a nice fancy missile to put it on. Ironically, Iran recently announced the successful testing of a large missile that does not show up on radar, can drop warheads on multiple targets, and has the range to hit Israel, a country that Iran's president recently said should be, quote, wiped off the face of the earth. Iran has the second most oil of any country and is the only true theocracy in the world. Says Matt, where do these people come from? His email address ends in org. Oh, I think he's a high school teacher.
That could be.
Well, I shouldn't say, because his email address is something hs.org. I think he's a high school teacher. I think that's what this is. Shouldn't you be educating the youth? Well, it is the lunchtime hour.
The youth of America listening to this program.
Yes. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for a monkey watch.
Here's your monkey watch. Thank God. For Tuesday.
This comes to us from Palm Springs, California, where everyone goes to retire, including Cheetah the Chimp, star of a dozen Tarzan movies of the 1930s and 1940s, celebrating his 74th birthday with sugar-free cake. This is one old monkey. Although healthy and active, Cheetah is a diabetic.
This is one old monkey.
He had a good time. The party went real good, said keeper Dan Westfall. Representatives from a Spanish film festival also showed up at Sunday's party to present Cheetah with the first award of his career, the International Comedy Film Festival, a Pensacola Prize. Cheetah is recognized in the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's oldest chimp. Chimps rarely live past the age of 40 in the wild and can reach 60 in captivity, but Cheetah just keeps celebrating birthdays. She's the Bob Hope of chimpanzees. On a typical day, Cheetah's favorite activities include riding around in the car. He also likes to paint. And his keeper has sold 8 abstract pieces that he has painted to raise money for the nonprofit sanctuary. Cheetah was adopted in 1992 by Westfall's Uncle Tony, an animal trainer.
Is this like a Weissmuller era chimp?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Damn.
This is the Tarzan movie.
But the Weissmuller, because he's dead, right?
Yep.
Why did Weissmuller die of? Just being alive for a long time?
I would imagine so.
Something? All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So Cheetah is still alive.
So Cheetah, Happy birthday, Cheetah. Still rip your junk off to it. You don't want to get anywhere near. All right, any paints, apparently. There you go. There's your...
Monkey birthdays are always a bad thing. Best to eat at a distance.
Or just go to Denny's.
Yep.
Here's your... That's your monkey watch there for Tuesday. All right. Thank you. I mean, feed it with a stick. Good times. I can tie this monkey thing into serial killers. So, what is it? The monkey makes abstract paint? Well, of course it makes ab. What the hell else kind of painting would it make? It's going to paint the bowl of fruit or something. So the monkey makes abstract paintings, which people buy.
As most retired people do in Palm Springs.
Anywho, so we were talking about Ed Gein, though. And here's the thing. You were talking about how, what is it that they were going to sell the property that Ed Gein's farmhouse sat on, and that's in Plainfield.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Plainfield, Wisconsin. So, and it's been taken off because of why? Because people were complaining about it?
No, it violated eBay's strict rules because of not selling murder memorabilia.
All right, okay. Because it is just the land, because the house is gone. Because, see, I don't know a lot about a lot, but I know a lot about
Ed Gein.
My knowledge really, as they say, is it's a mile wide and an inch deep on most things, except for serial killers. Now, Ed Gein, because the house burnt down, like, while he'd been arrested. It was like 2 or 3 days after he'd been arrested. Somebody goes, they torch the house. That's why there's very little Ed Gein memorabilia out there. Believe me, I've looked for it. Don't give me that look. I'm just saying that, you know, everybody has their own interests.
Somebody out there must have something.
Some guys paint. Oh, I just hung up on... I just emptied up the... My fault. I just mishandled the phone bank. Well, anyway, the closest they can carry, for a while, there was somebody had stolen Ed Gein's headstone, and they were selling little pieces of it that they'd, like, jackhammered off. Like, they would scrape off little pieces of Ed Gein's.
Like parts of the Berlin Wall.
Exactly. But much smaller. And so you could buy them for, like, $100 each, but it was, like, taken off eBay before I could get one. You can now buy, I believe, rubbings of Ed Gein's tombstone, which I have pondered, because he is my favorite killer. The other thing, and this is the real damnable misery of not having the job, is when we were off the air for 11 months, and of course you can't, you know, you're unemployed, you can't spend any money, because A, because, you know, you gotta try to be frugal, and B, because you just feel like an ass. Like, if you're unemployed, it doesn't even matter if you have money in the bank. When you're unemployed, you feel like you can't buy anything enjoyable or frivolous. Even when you go to the store, you're like, should I buy some sort of food that's enjoyable and fun and feels a little festive? No, I'll just buy gruel. I'll just buy a huge bag of legumes. That's it. Just taking home a big bag of lentils and some rice. Because you feel like you're not entitled. I'm not entitled to anything fun. I don't deserve to enjoy my life. So you can't buy anything that's enjoyable. About halfway through our unemployment, guy sends me this notice where there was an art dealer online who was unloading a bunch of self-portraits painted by John Wayne Gacy, the clown killer. And they were less than you might expect. You could get an autographed, limited edition John Wayne Gacy himself as the clown self-portrait, like $1,000. Huge, too. I mean, we're talking, it was like 2x3. It's fantastic. But, of course, you're not, you know, just not able to do that. You can't explain that. You can't explain that to your wife under the best of circumstances. Having a job, I probably couldn't explain that to my wife.
I bought this for our future.
honey, it's for the baby's room. She won't even let me keep I have that big, you remember that big ass Texas Chainsaw Massacre thing I had, and it was motion activated?
Yes.
It was this huge leather face thing, and he's all blood spattered, and it had a motion sensor, and you'd walk.
You don't still have that? I thought you'd still have it.
I have it, but it's like you walk by it, and you hear a chainsaw, like, again, it has the motion sensor on the front, so if you walk within 2 feet of it, the chainsaw sound starts, and you hear a woman screaming, and it was in my office for like a day and a half, and finally she was like, this has to go in the basement. You can't leave this up here anymore. Because every time she would get up to get a glass of water or use the bathroom, she would have to walk by the office in the middle of the night in the dark house, and she would forget it was there, of course. And so she'd be getting up to, like, you know, to go use the bathroom. She's walking down the hallway at 3 a.m., and of course here she hears a chainsaw and the sound of a woman screaming just coming out of the blackness for no reason. So I had to stash that in the basement. So there was clearly no way that she was going to let me put the serial killer clown painting upstairs. Anyway, my point is I could do it now, but now it's gone. If you're looking to, if you want to know what to get Rick Emerson for this Christmas, yeah. Hanukkah, Juneteenth, Kwanzaa, whatever, serial killer artwork is always good. That's the gift that says I care. Yes. All right.
Meanwhile, Detroit police have confirmed that rap star Eminem's longtime friend and producer Proof is one of two men who were found shot and killed in a Detroit after-hours nightclub earlier this morning. Two other men were wounded. One person has been taken into custody for questioning in connection with a shooting at the Triple C nightclub on East 8 Mile.
We talked earlier before the show about whether to make this a snuff watch show. I was like, well, we got to mention it. And I was pointing out that I don't think anybody in the audience knows who this is.
The only guy I know from D12 was the one on that celebrity weight loss challenge.
Oh, is that, what's his name? Busy something or other?
I wore a napkin.
You're talking about the lady with the belly fat?
Fatty? No, I don't know. In D12, dumb question, are there 12 of them? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know anything about hip-hop anymore. I've lost touch with the rap world in every single way.
Me too.
I couldn't name all the members of D12 you put a gun to my head. I have no idea. So it's not really a snuff watch, but here's what I know about Proof. And I'm going to skip the obvious proof of life, proof of death joke. Ha, 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 wah, wah. That Eminem did that video for Toy Soldiers, couple months ago, I guess last year, where he did, he sampled that Martika song. But in the video, he has proof in a hospital bed, like pretending that he's dead. Oh, look, it's, you know, he's wackily pretending to have been shot. Da, 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 da. And now he's dead. So there you go. That's a little karma, my friend.
He was 30 years old.
No one cares.
Time for the Whitney Watch.
Oh, wait, this is me. I've got this over here.
Oh.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please, please prepare yourselves for this.
I am.
The inaugural edition of the Rick Emerson Show, Whitney Watch.
Diva Mariah Carey has extended her compassion to messed-up singer Whitney Houston.
That'll help.
After she was exposed as a crackhead by her sister-in-law, Tina Brown.
It's because Mariah Carey's a paragon of stability. Everybody thinks of Mariah Carey, and they think of a girl who couldn't possibly have a meltdown and start smoking crack every day.
Lailing like a madwoman. Carey is the latest of a long line of singers who has publicly supported Houston, and Carey has invited her to a duet with her new album, How Sweet. Carey said, my heart goes out to her. She's such an immense talent. I'm right there for
you. You know what that, see, and Sarah can verify this. You know what that is? That's catty female. This is totally just a way for, like, Mariah to publicly put the boot in a little bit while making it look compassion. Oh, that's totally, oh, my heart goes out to her. I'm so sorry that she's become an emaciated crack whore.
You sound like a character on South Park right now.
It's totally what it is. It's like anything I can do to help Whitney, who's become an emaciated crack whore, because Mariah used to be viewed as a Whitney knockoff. I'm old enough to remember that. That was the thing, that when she first came out, Mariah was viewed as this knockoff of Whitney Houston. And so Whitney, you know, Mariah went through her own tough time. What's she talking about? You know what I've been trying to find for the longest time and I can't? Remember when Mariah Carey went nuts right around the same time of, right after Glitter?
There just wasn't enough written about it.
And there was right around Glitter, and it was like the Charm Bracelet era, which is like the worst thing I've ever heard. And I'm not a Mariah Carey fan, but it's like the worst record ever. And so Mariah went nuts, and she showed up on TRL, and she was like wearing like a halter or something and giving out lollipops or fudgesicles or something and went crazy. And then she started, Mariah posted all this crap on her weblog about like, and you know, publicists have got to hate the weblog because it's become like their nightmare because, you know, Fred Durst or somebody gets all loaded up and starts posting some crap on the website that the publicist's got to explain later. But Mariah went crazy and she posted something on her website about, I'm going to cut myself with knives! You know, just something insane.
The publicist, she was just sharpening knives.
You know, and then she ended up in the hospital and it was a whole lot. No, she tripped on a, she fell on a plate, you know, and she's like,
stumbled on a banana peel.
she fell into a dishwasher full of broken shards. And, but now that's gone and I've never been able to find it. I've never been able to find the posting that Mariah Carey put up when she was going all wacky. So my point here is that Mariah Carey was viewed as a Whitney knockoff for the longest time and now she's like last crazy bitch standing. And so she's totally, while making herself look good, she's totally able to remind everybody that, like, I am here and not a crack hoe. That's completely what that is.
So just to reiterate, Houston is perceived now as a sex-crazed crackhead who is in need of serious help. The couple's daughter, Bobby Brown, spelled with an I at the end, is currently staying with Houston's brother until child welfare services are satisfied that Houston and her behavior is not harmful to the child. If Houston's home is deemed unsuitable... Bobby could be taken into care by the caring authorities.
All right. Excellent. And she lives where in Atlanta? We got to get Ed McCarthy on this. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, there you go. The inaugural edition of the Rick Emerson Show, Whitney Watch.
Keep brushing her teeth.
Yes. Weren't we supposed to have Ed McCarthy at like 12:30?
Yeah, you want me to call Laura?
Yeah, would you please?
What is this with everyone who's supposed to join us who doesn't?
I don't know. They've all been stricken with mad cow disease.
Maybe they're protesting for the illegal immigrants.
Maybe. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
Well, Nicole Richie has a wild new pet, an exotic Bengal cat. Simple Life star is set to pick up her new feline friend any day now, and I bet she is thrilled with the new four-legged companion. She's quoted by Britain's Daily Star as saying, "This is beautiful. This cat has a long tail and is very spotty."
Oh, I hope it kills her. That'd be fantastic. That'd be the best day of my life, is if we read that. I love people who are killed by their own vicious pets anyway. Some guy goes and buys, he buys like a wildebeest or, a wolverine or something. Mm-hmm. Keeps it in a little box right next to the bed, and then you wake up, face gone. If that happens to Nicole Richie, that I'll do a little jig officially in the hallway.
She says, "I'm thinking of calling it Chi-Chi-Cheetah." The star's former best friend, Paris Hilton, also is famed for her menagerie of strange animals, including a goat, a monkey, and, of course, that famous chihuahua, Tinkerbell.
Stupid. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. Is it true that there's a fourth season of The Simple Life airing, or a third season, or whatever the hell?
There's something on E!
Yeah, there's something playing on E! Now, and they're filming one together, but in separate parts.
But they're not talking to each other? Because they hate each other.
They were giving somebody plastic surgery last night.
Well, now, I know... Who? Nicole Richie?
Yeah.
Give me that knife. Now, I heard, not that I really care, but here's the thing. By dint of being, it's like when you hang around a smoker, and even you're not smoking, you go home at the end of the night, and you're all, and you reek of Pall Malls. You know what I mean? Hanging out with Sarah, I don't even really care about Nicole Richie and Paris Hilton and The Simple Life, and yet I find myself going, now, I've been reading about this spat between the two of them, and I find myself... It's just like osmosis. I find myself caring about and talking about and knowledgeable about things that I don't remember learning about. It's like you suddenly, it's like an I know kung fu kind of a thing. Just like you suddenly, whoa, I know all about The Simple Life. And I think it's just because I spend so much time with Sarah. I heard that the thing with Paris and Nicole, correct me if I'm wrong about this, mm-hmm. I heard that the spat was caused. Understand now I'm not talking about something that I don't care about, and yet I know. I was to understand that the spat was caused because Paris got caught on film using what we will refer to on this program as racial epithets towards a series of Negro men who were in her near vicinity. And, of course, then Nicole Richie, who I think is white, right? But she's got the black dad. She adopted or something?
Yeah, but she's adopted.
Okay. She's got the black dad. And so that Paris was referring to a youth, a group of dark-complected youths with a slur. And that's why Nicole went crazy. Understand, again, I don't really care about any of this. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, listen to this. Well, there are no new protests today, but all the illegal immigrants are still here. Well, 15 immigrant women who miss work in Detroit to attend a immigrants' rights rally have been fired. The general manager of the Detroit Meatpacking Company said the women were warned they would lose their jobs if they skipped work, and he meant it. He fired them all.
Excellent.
They won't work for Wolverine Packing for several years.
Okay.
Meanwhile, police in Toronto are searching for four women suspected of beating a man to death over a $1,000 jackpot he just won at a bingo hall. Yusuf Yokohama, 58, was walking outside the county bingo hall over the weekend with his $1,000 in winning when he was approached by the women. He refused to hand over the jackpot, and the women kicked and punched him. Witnesses say the man stumbled back into the bingo hall after the attack. The women fled on foot after the beating with the $1,000.
You don't want to screw with bingo women. Bingo women are
especially
crazy.
Especially Canadian.
No, and bingo women are insane. Everybody and you know what I'm talking about. Everybody has an aunt, a grandmother, a stepmom, guy who's shacking up with your dad somewhere so they can get double the stamps. Everybody knows a woman who plays bingo, and they've all got weird. We saw these women at Victory Bingo when we were doing that poker show. They've all got the weird good luck tokens. They're all chain smoking. They've all got just enough, like their ass is just big enough that they could get some weight behind a punch. Yeah, you don't want to get between a bingo woman and anything. Good day, Rick et al., says this email. Short for Italian. For Latin, it stands for et alia, which means and others.
Oh, like and the rest.
Yes. Ed all stands for Marianne and the professor.
That's us.
I am a new listener and will be there for your listener party. Thank you. I heard you mention earlier today, quote, is there any black lacrosse players in America? I'm pretty sure that I didn't phrase it that way, but...
No, you wouldn't have.
That is a close quote anyway, and as it would happen, there is some. I'm lost in a thicket of whether this is even written correctly. As a matter of fact, there is one on the Duke squad. And as funny as it is, he's the only player not being indicted. The only one they did not take a DNA sample from, as the DNA is from a, quote, white person, reportedly. I don't even understand this. Also, the picture of Sarah and her O face, it looks more like a, oh, no, you're not going to face to me. She is very pretty, however. And that's from Lauren. All right. Well, there you go. Thank you. Here's Tim Riley at the... did you call Laura?
I did. She's not answering either.
So now, no, they're all dead. Everyone at CNN Atlanta is dead. Spread the word. Tell everyone you know. All right, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, I have not one but two stories from Florida because it's two for Tuesday.
That's fantastic. Wait, hold on. News from... All right.
Agents in Florida have confiscated 14,000 packages of brass knuckles disguised, disguised as belt buckles in packaging. They came from Pakistan and China. Half of the shipment of 14,000 brass knuckles confiscated at a Florida port was apparently heading to a store in central Florida. The sign at the store said, Unique Cutlery Incorporated, above the door. Investigators say there is no doubt that the items were weapons. Police will not prosecute the store owner because the shipment of brass knuckles was not delivered.
Well, I'm from that generation where you could just buy all that stuff at the state fair every year. Like, and I don't know if it's still the case. It probably is. It is such a redneck state. But where you go to the state fair, and there was always just a table of the guy. They've talked about this in South Park. You go to the fair, and there's the guy selling the table full of weaponry. And it was always the same thing. Because kids, little boys are fascinated with four things. They're fascinated with piranhas, petrified wood, a third thing that I forget, and ninjas. And so when you go to the state fair, there's always the table of throwing stars, which no one can ever use. It's like you buy the throwing stars, and then they just kind of sit there because you're unable to use them in any way. So there's throwing stars, the butterfly knives, and brass knuckles. Those that, if you are a 13-year-old boy, if you have a 13-year-old boy, if he's anywhere between the ages of 13 and like 17, know that he has those things in his room somewhere. Somewhere there's, here's what's in your teenage boy's room. A, there's a Playboy, probably, even in the age of internet porn, he's probably got a hustler in there somewhere, just stashed away, because boys are all about tactile sensations. B, he's got a marijuana cigarette that's been rolled up and secreted away that he doesn't know what to do with. He doesn't know how to smoke it. He's unsure. He's probably tried to inhale at one point but has failed, but he keeps the cigarette around because it makes him feel like a hipster. And so it's like stuck underneath a mattress somewhere. And C, he's got one of the above three weapons. He's got a throwing star, he's got a butterfly knife, he's got brass knuckles. That is all you know and all you need know.
Probably purchased with some guy snapping his fingers in the back alley with a cigarette hanging.
Well, Sarah and I were at this store the other day. Wait, what's that store? Metro? Red Light? Where the hell were we?
Yeah, but, I don't know.
And they're selling, like, a belt buckle, which is like a pair of brass knuckles, which clearly, like, if you wanted to just be working a guy, they
would Naked City.
Yeah, they would, Naked City. And it's brass knuckles, and they're... Because I think you can't really sell those anymore. Again, and I hate to do the when I was a boy, but when I was a kid, you could buy full-on, like, brass knuckles at any head shop, any novelty store.
They sell them at Saturday Market.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. See, yeah. It's like a kind of a gray area of regulation. And this was like they were selling it as a belt buckle, but clearly if you wanted to get somebody handled, they would do the job.
Not that an object dart.
Well, I remember up a couple years ago, they had to start selling them as paperweights. So,
oh, that's good.
And then I had a pair of brass knuckles given to me actually a few years ago by some guy, some listener, and he's like, hey,
that's a great stocking stuff.
I had reference brass knuckles, and he'd given them to me, and then I just stuck them in my bag, you know, my kind of shoulder bag that I carry around with me. So I'm going to the airport, one step early, I remember. You know, it's like metal detector is three steps away. Me, one, two, oh, yeah, and just immediately, like, go to the bathroom. And I am so terrified of airport security people now because they're such pinheads. And you know they're just waiting to pistol whip you and probe a sensitive part of your anatomy with the jelly glove that I just, like, went to the bathroom and threw them away. Like, I didn't even want to go, I have some brass knuckles. And because my fear is when you go to the airport,
okay,
like, in my world, at the airport, you can't ever get past the first five words of the sentence to the explanation. You know what I mean? So, like, I always wonder, like, what happens if you're walking through the and you suddenly realize that, well, I've got a gun for some reason. You suddenly realize you've got a hatchet in your boot. How are you going to... Look, I've got a gun, and wham! And you're going to be down on the... And that's it. You're going to be down on the... And a guy's going to be beating you with a leather sap. So I just went to the bathroom and threw it away. That's it.
There's our second Florida story. Florida news number two. Authorities in Ocala County, Florida, searching for the person who may have used a woman working in her garden as target practice. Shirley Drummond told police she was crouched over in her garden at her home on Lakeshore Boulevard in St. Cloud over the weekend when she was shot. I had just bent over to pick up some flowers and weeds.
Excellent.
But a car came down the road right beside me and I heard this loud bang. Then I looked down my leg and I felt a sensation and I could see blood running down the back of my leg. Doctors took x-rays and said she had been hit with a BB or a bullet. It's still unclear whether the victim was shot with a BB gun or a real gun. They intend to leave it in her leg, though, saying it would be more harmful to remove it. They'll just have to get used to it.
That's the other thing that boys have, by the way. Boys have always got some sort of BB or pellet gun around that they could, that you buy them, sort of a Christmas story style, only after being assured by them that they will use all the appropriate safety precautions. They don't. That they wear goggles, they will not. That they use gloves, they never do. And that they always claim this is used for, and I quote now from your child, shooting tin cans. It never is. This is always for annoying cats and fat people in the neighborhood. That's
what is the most
for.
Damage a BB can do?
I don't know.
I mean, you can take an eye out like anything else.
But you always hear about that.
Has anyone been shot by a BB out there?
See, listen, that's exactly what I'm saying. We're going down that inevitable path again of call us if you've been injured. I'm not necessarily looking for someone who's lost an eye. Well, that is what I'm looking for.
Do you have a glass eye?
Have you lost an eye? How do I put this?
Have you ever been running with scissors?
Have you ever been running with a long stick in your teeth? Have you ever been
while chasing a train trying to hop on?
Have you ever been dangling your penis above a paper shredder?
While washing windows at the 20th story?
Look at all the lights are lit up.
See? We have an active crowd of listeners.
Rick, I have a shredder and a penis and the
not that we have
I guess my whole point was
yes.
People have BB guns. And then also people lose eyes. My question is, I don't know if one ever causes the other.
Oh, so you need a combination of both.
Clearly there are people in the audience who've had BB guns. Clearly there are people in the audience who have lost an eye. I'm unclear about whether there's anybody in the audience where one led directly to the other. That's my question here on Johnson 970.
So we'll only allow callers with those combinations of injuries.
Well, I don't know. We're pretty much suckers for anything. And we don't have an intern until next week. And so the calls are not really screened so much as they are just sort of alley-ooped. Hi, Sarah. How are you today?
I'm okay.
Could be somebody who wants to discuss the situation in the Middle East.
All right. It's not, though. Are these injury calls?
No, mine too.
All right.
They're injured.
They're injured right now. Let's pick up the phone. Hi, Rick. Who's this?
It's Michael.
Hi, Michael. How can I help you today?
My friends and I, when we were playing with BB guns when we were little, actually shot my friend in the finger point blank.
Yes.
Went into a finger, got lodged in the bone, and had to have surgery.
Oh, lodged in the bone. That's a great phrase.
The x-ray was the best I've ever seen, though.
Oh, really? Because it was like a BB right in the middle of the bone?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of a soft kid was this? BB gun lodges in the bone.
It was one of the pump ones. We pumped it up like 20 times.
Oh, like a Daisy. Was it like a Daisy air rifle?
Oh, yeah, and then point blank, like right into his finger.
Now, how did this happen? Were you like, dude, hold still for a second. Why? Never mind.
No, I was there. I wasn't the one holding the gun, though.
Uh-huh, sure.
It got stuck, and he figured he would put his finger down there to catch it when it pulled out.
He didn't want to lose that precious BB.
Apparently.
This BB cost by 1/1,000,000th of a cent.
This is the BB he's never allowed to shoot with.
So this is the, I want to keep this BB so we can fire it at something later. Did he just jam his finger into the barrel?
No, he was holding it at the end of the barrel.
Oh, God. God damn, people are stupid. All right, and then did he pull the trigger himself? Because that would really be the icing on the cake.
No, my friend Jason did.
Oh, that's right. And then it was, you could probably hear his scream everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
And we were, like, next to the elementary school, too.
Of course. Now, did you go to a parent with this?
Yeah, we went to his parents, and then they took him to the hospital, and Jason and I immediately left.
That's what, of course. Sorry about your kid. I think he's dead. Bye. Gotta go. Wham. And then you just go home.
That's what friends are for.
Totally just dumping him off on the front porch.
We're like 12.
Yeah, excellent. Good times, Michael. Thank you. All right, there you go. That's Michael. You're listening to Johnson 970 KCMD AM Portland, by the way. It's 503-733-2970. It's just going to be nothing but BB in my eye stories, which is, you know, that's fine with me. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Ethan.
Ethan, how can I help you on this fine Tuesday?
Well, two things.
Well, Rick.
One, yeah. I've been shot in the arm with a BB gun, right. And it didn't even penetrate the skin.
See, that's what I'm saying. So it must...
Then they weren't trying.
They weren't really your friends.
But it left a nice mark, though.
But this is, again, this must all be about the brand or the make or model of the gun? Is that right? I mean, is that what it comes down to?
There's some types that you can pump up multiple times.
Well, that's the kind I had.
They're markedly more powerful than the others.
I had this Daisy air rifle, and I forget what the model was. It was a Daisy air, but you could, and it had, it looked like the rifleman kind, you know, with the Chuck Connors or whatever. You could do, and you could totally pump it up at like a billion times, and then it would go through a steel. Yeah,
right. Well, and then you also forgot fireworks.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, everybody...
The obligatory fireworks hiding in the closet.
We're not taking fireworks calls at the moment.
fireworks calls will be in 60 days. Don't get me wrong.
Please stay on topic.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. We're going to do like a whole week of a horrific firework injury stories come July 4th.
No, but you were saying, you know, stuff that's in the 13-year-old boy's closet.
Yeah, see, this is what happens when you have a screener. Right. No, it's true. So the bullet just, the BB just bounced off your arm?
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Left a circular purple bruise.
All right, how old were you?
That's about it.
How old were you?
12, 13, something like that.
Well, that's the window of time when you're supposed to be injuring yourself with guns.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, sir.
And a problem.
All right. Spread the word, Ethan.
I shall.
There you go. All right. Way to wrangle the call, Tim. Good for you.
Well, it's a topic-driven program.
It's true.
If we don't break now, we'll have solid commercials till the end of the show.
Oh, we can't have that.
Solid commercials, like really cool ones. Like solid commercials. All right. We're going to break here.
Besides this, for doggy steps.
And we'll be back. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. You stay there. The Rick Emerson Show continues after this on Johnson 97, a proud part of the CBS Radio family. Coming up, how to turn your girl into a video gamer. CNN Radio's Ed McCarthy talks about Duke and they're raping, and more of your calls, etc. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show right here.